I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Rob Holman. Rob is an internationally recognized leadership expert, executive coach, keynote speaker, and author who has a heart for authentic relationships and a true talent for equipping people with the skills and the knowledge necessary for their success. With passion and exuberance, Rob's dynamic teaching style has successfully led countless business owners, executives, and leaders through his exclusive and proprietary method of inside-out leadership coaching. In helping his clients learn how to connect with their unique life's purpose, they are finding success in a way they never expected, from the inside out. As a lifelong serial entrepreneur, Rob has founded numerous highly influential organizations, both for-profit as well as nonprofit. His current endeavor is as co-founder of Agents of Efficiency, a consultancy revolutionizing the way small businesses operate. Rob lives in Westchester, Pennsylvania, with his wife Karen and their three children, RJ, Kayla, and Zach. Rob, welcome to the show. Great to have you on.
David, great to be with you. And I want to forewarn you a little bit that I have a lot of passion. I have a feeling we're going to get along really, really well because I know you do too. And people always tend to ask me, they're like, how many cups of coffee do you have? Like regular cups of coffee every day? And I'm like, one cup of regular, the rest of the day, it's decaf coffees, herbal teas. You don't want to see me on any more than one cup of regular coffee a day. But it's great to be with you.
And how strong is that one cup?
Just strong enough to give you a little bit of a kick in the morning. That's it. That's it.
Sounds good. Well, Rob, I know from part of your background that I didn't read as your bio that you're a former professional basketball player. And I know there's a lot of analogies that are made between sports and business. How has your background as a professional basketball player influenced what you do as a business coach?
That's a great question. Yeah, you know, I played about 7 years of pro ball, bounced around a lot of the minor leagues, aspiring to be an NBA basketball player, came very close with an opportunity that never panned out with the Philadelphia 76ers and also Orlando Magic back in the day. But I'll tell you, there was one particular time when I transitioned from college into the professional ranks. And boy, this was back 20 years ago or so now. And I remember being a small college basketball player. Now I was competing against all these guys I looked up to and watched on television, Division I players, and these guys that are really close to making it into the NBA. Well, people kind of viewed me as a small college basketball player. And I had dreams and aspirations just like everyone else did that I was competing against. The problem was I was viewed a little bit more as like a practice player. Someone that would work hard, someone that would dive on the floor for all the loose balls, not in the games, in practice. And I was actually out competing, out playing a lot of the players that were ahead of me. They were actually seeing time during the actual games. And I wasn't seeing the playing. I wasn't seeing the momentum. There was a lack of momentum. I had reached a point, and it led to frustration, it led to discouragement, led to all these mixed emotions. But here's what I did in the midst of that. This is just about halfway through the first season in my transition from college into the professional ranks on a professional team where I was making money to play. And I'm on the team and I'm literally not just holding my own, but playing really well and working hard. But yet I just really sensed from the coaching staff and other players, who is this small college guy? Is he playing that good that he deserves time to take away from me? And I remember going up to one of the assistant coaches when it led to so much frustration, David, about midway through the season. I said, I'm clearly outplaying some of the players in practice. When am I really going to get a shot during the game? And they kind of looked at me and said, well, probably not this season. But if you work your tail off throughout in the off season, we'll give you a legitimate shot. And that was one of the motivators that I need. So I went to the coach yet again after that conversation and said, what are the specific things I need to work on in the off season so I can get a legitimate opportunity to play and to get good minutes on this team and make the impact that I know I can make for this team to be successful? And sure enough, they gave me a list. And I was able to really, not just with the heart behind it and the desire and the drive and the focus, but now I had a list of things to work on that I knew if I could just work on these things and improve on these areas, that I would have a legitimate chance. And let me just tell you something. I worked my tail off that summer. And my goal was, I want to be the best player on that court. And without a doubt, I would love every coach on that team and every player to literally say, we've got to give Rob an opportunity. He's got to be out on that court. And that's what happened. And let me just tell you, things really started to pick up that next season, and momentum just went from there.
So what I'm hearing is that knowing what the key performance indicators are is really critical to being able to achieve your goals.
Absolutely. So many people may think they know what they are, may be oblivious to what they are, but when you have clarity, and I found too, David, I found that when you have objective help, you have a coach, whether it's a basketball coach, whether it's a business coach, someone to come alongside of you, someone that's there to actually help you determine what those specific indicators are. Now, you can actually go about your work in a specific fashion. I oftentimes say this, if you keep things general, you're going to get general results. The more specific that you can nail things down, then you can get specific results. And it requires, in my opinion, it requires someone or someones from the outside to come alongside of you, or at least that you can go to ask them what those specific things are. And when you then have them, now this is something tangible and specific that you can do something with.
So what's a corollary that you come across in the business world?
Yeah. You know, in business, right, I deal with business, small business leaders, medium-sized, large. As we all know, most of us know, that business problems are business problems. And so many times, business leaders are going about their work, and they're just kind of caught up in the current of maybe what they grew up in, maybe witnessing from mom or dad in the business world, their level of education, and all these things are wonderful. But so many times we can get swept off our feet of what we just know. We just think, this is the only place I know to operate out of, subconsciously or consciously, and we just kind of can go with the current. And so in business, for instance, right, if you take a look at sales, sales is a huge part of business. If we just go with, well, this is all I know at sales, I'm just going to go and network. I'm going to use my personality. I'm going to use my sphere of influence. I'm just going to go out there and sell. And maybe there's some level of influence and impact that leads to sales. But I can't help but think, until for me, a sales coach came alongside of me in the early part of my entrepreneurial days and said, hey, Rob, you're being somewhat successful, but can I ask you a few questions? And as they would prod and as they would push and saying, okay, so Rob, you're out there utilizing your personality and everything. How are you best utilizing your time? And they started to talk to me about efficiency. You know, you could be much more efficient with the use of your time. And we started to go down that road. Hey, Rob, are you tracking the amount of people that you're talking to, who you're talking to, how often, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I was through their coaching, through them being specific with me, asking questions, and then coming up with a game plan of how to address those very specific things. Now, I can be a good steward of who I'm around, what I'm doing, because I have a plan of action. And in sales, I kid you not, here's what happened. When that coach started to come alongside of me, ask me these questions, key indicators, help me devise, develop, and foster a plan. Now I could be proactive in my sales approach, be much more effective and efficient with my time. And as a natural result of that, sales started to increase drastically.
Yeah. So looking back at that example that you're thinking about for yourself, how much did sales increase as a result of just tracking who you were talking to, how much time you were spending at it, et cetera?
Sales doubled within the next 16 months. And for me, I thought I was doing a pretty good job. But then when I started to get some things in order, I was like, now I'm working smarter and not smarter than harder. You know, I'm all about hard work. You know, I have that basketball background. It's woven in me. But I'll tell you, the more that I grow as a business leader, entrepreneur, I want to learn ways to work much smarter than harder, because my time is valuable. And where I place my time means everything, because at the end of the day, David, I'm all about influence. If I can influence as many people in a positive fashion that I can all around the world, I want to be able to do that. So I back up. I better be efficient with the use of my time. Who am I spending my time with? What am I spending my time doing? And how can I maximize the people and the things that I'm doing on a regular basis?
Yeah, and in today's world, what are some of the common suggestions that you end up making to people to be able to maximize their time?
Yeah. We've got to be great boundary setters. You know, at the end of the day, I think that many business leaders, I mean, think about it. We are bombarded with responsibilities, with people tugging on us all the time. I oftentimes say this, if you're a leader, you're a gifted leader, a skilled leader, people are always going to want your attention. That's never going to go away. As a matter of fact, that's only going to increase in time. It's our management of ourselves first and others and our responsibilities that means the world. And so for me, boundary setting is a key and core component of just that. We've got to get used to as leaders of saying no. And the more that we get a chance to say no, you don't hear a whole lot of that out there, but the more comfortable and confident we have with saying no, we get to say yes to more of our priorities. See, so many people, I think boundary setting has a lot to do with, you know, we have a heart to serve. A lot of leaders have a heart to serve. We want to make things happen. We love momentum. But, you know, activity doesn't equate necessarily to good or great activity. Activity is just movement. But I'm all about great movement, positive movement, effective and efficient movement. And so one of the best ways to see that through is boundary setting. So get comfortable saying no. And in doing so, we've got to really back up and to say, you know, one of the things I think really helps people understand what their boundaries are and really put these boundary stakes in the ground is, what are our priorities in any given season of our life? You know, what are the things that truly matter the most, you know, in business, in our, you know, whether it be career in business, family life, spiritual, family, I mean, you name it. What are the things that matter the most to us? And if we can clearly identify priority lists, 3 to 5 of our top priorities in any given season, now that helps the sifting process. So when an opportunity comes about or someone tugs on us, would you help me do this or would you do that? Instead of being stretched way too thin, now we sift through that through our priorities.
Yeah. So Rob, what's an example where you have decided to set boundaries and say no to something, and it has allowed you to be able to be expansive where you needed to be expansive?
Yeah, great, great question. I am asked to be on the board of so many different companies, nonprofit, for-profit. I'm asked on a very consistent, regular basis. And so for me, I need to really determine with my priorities. You know, my priorities in the season are clearly my family. I got 3 young kids. I have a 9-year-old, a soon-to-be 7-year-old, and then I have a 21-month-old. So as you can imagine, David, and I'm sure our listeners too, just, you know, being a younger family and with a growing family, I really want to guard and protect because I believe in work-life integration and work-life balance. And so I really want to be on the home front much more in this season of my life to help, you know, be there. And I want to be there for my wife and my children. So I'm asked to be on the board of all these different organizations all the time. And so for me, if it gets me one step closer to me engaging with my family, I'll seriously consider it. Or if it helps me get one step closer to another major priority in my life, which is, you know, I'm doing a lot of writing. I have a book coming out shortly. And so if it helps with that project in any form or fashion, I'll seriously consider it. So with the tugs, I know what my main priorities are in this season, family and writing, for instance. And so if it fits into that, I'll give it serious thought, prayer, consideration, a conversation with my wife. If it doesn't as much, I'll go back to them and say, hey, thank you so much. I feel honored, but I'm going to have to say no. And for this reason, but check back with me in a year or so or 2 years if the need still exists, because I'd be happy to revisit it.
Now, how can adding a board seat get you closer to your family?
Well, it depends what board seat. You know, I got a request from a board member, a president of a board, and this was just probably about a month ago. And they said, Rob, they're in a humanitarian organization and do a lot of wonderful philanthropy work, humanitarian, that deals with an issue that my family, my wife specifically, is really into. And so for me, I'm like, wow, this is in alignment with my family values. And my wife's really into this. I am as well. My kids could really get behind this. Is this something that we, not just me, but we could really get behind? And this fits into our family values and the things that matter the most to us within our family unit. So I'm going to give that more serious consideration, thought, and even talk to my wife about that. Hey, honey, if we're about to engage in this, if I say yes to being on the board, well, here's what that would mean for some of our aspirations as a family. And if there's a direct correlation there, a connection, that could bring not only my family closer together, but give us greater impact as a family serving this organization with me as the board member, but our family serving together in that kind of capacity.
Sounds great. Great example. But Rob, whom do you typically serve? And I'd love to hear a little bit about your methodology of inside-out leadership.
Yeah. I serve a variety of different people. I basically business owners and leaders. And that can be on the small startup to small business, medium size, or even large, more corporate side of things. And with my inside out leadership philosophy, here's what I found, that business owners and leaders, regardless of startup, mid-size or large or corporate, there's a lot of similarities. Now, the scale could be a whole lot different, but at the end of the day, people are dealing with people problems and financial problems, and oftentimes they're interconnected. And so for me, I have an opportunity to serve so many different people. And this is for profit. It's also nonprofit as well. So for me, every day is very different, but yet there's a common ground with whoever I work with, whoever I serve, because they are business leaders. And business leaders, I just have such a heart for, because it's been my life. I am a serial, what some would say, a serial entrepreneur, starting, you know, founding or co-founding 9 organizations in the last 20 years. And so I have such a heart to help, to come alongside, and not just come alongside and be an encouragement, be a cheerleader for them, these business leaders, but I also like to get under them and lift them up with inspiration and lift them up. And hopefully they can jump on top of me and I can lift them up so they far exceed any aspirations that I even have in my own life. And so what an opportunity it is to come alongside of people like that. And in the midst of that, you know, they're facing challenges like all of us, you know, facing business challenges, personal challenges in the midst of that. And that's where inside out leadership and this philosophy that I have created and developed and fostered in the last 20 years really comes into play.
Yeah. And are there some like top actionable steps that you generally will tell the people that you're serving that they need to take in order to be better leaders?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, here's what I found is there's a disengagement problem in business. And the disengagement problem, I mean, even stats, I came across these amazing stats in a 2014 study just about 2.5 years ago and 3 years ago, and that say that nearly 90% of workers, employees, team members are disengaged. And let me define disengagement as have a lack of purpose and passion in what they do day in and day out in the workplace. And that the statistics for their leaders, I mean, if you look at leaders, business owners, entrepreneurs, managers, supervisors, et cetera, it's nearly 80% are disengaged. Lack of meaningful purpose and passion. So those are some alarming statistics. So, and here's what leaders, because they know that the problem exists, here's what leaders historically have thrown at that problem or their series of problems. They are trying a lot of outside motivational tactics and strategies, trying to get into the inside of the worker, and only to find out it just ain't working. Now, there's some level of success. There's no doubt about it. But I have observed through my own personal experience as a business owner and leader, and also with those that have come alongside to help teach, encourage, and hopefully inspire, is there's a different way, dare I say a better way, and that's inside out. That there's actually a way through helping people learn about having healthy and proper perspective. I call these the foundations of inside out leadership. It's all about perspective. Secondly, let's redefine what success really is. Don't let culture, don't let this world define it for you. What should success really look like and mean for you? Thirdly, how about the authentic you? What level of transparency and authenticity do you bring to the workplace? Do you bring in your life with those that you're surrounded with day in and day out? And then, of course, mindset, as we know, is absolutely huge. I call it stinking thinking. It's in between the ears, the head trash. You know, being a basketball player, there were those players that would just talk a whole lot of trash out in the court. And if we're not careful as an athlete, as a basketball player, if I wasn't careful, I would let that trash talking of like, you're not going to make the next shot. You're not going to mean to, you know, amount to anything. There's no way you're going to see this through. And if I wasn't careful, I let that trash talking really get into my mind and it would begin to affect my game in a negative fashion. Well, we can do the same thing in our personal and professional lives. So these foundations, I think, are so big to revisit. And I call these the foundations for inside out leadership. And these are things beneath the surface that if I can work and my organization can help work with leaders all over the world to help really instill these life-changing foundations and principles, there's no telling what can begin to break above surface, because those are the more tangible things. And David, I'll share this because I think it's good to get specific. Above surface, helping people with leading themselves first is absolutely huge. Second, helping them discover or rediscover their life purpose and live according to it. Third, develop an attitude of gratitude, what it means to have a positive mindset every day and create a lifestyle to live accordingly. Fourth, the power of personal vision. If you want to have just vision in your workplace, it's got to start with you as the leader in your own personal life. And then lastly, create a plan of action. It goes back and comes full circle to what you and I talked about not too long ago, which at the end of the day, if we can have specific indicators and develop a plan, a proactive plan out of that place, now we could be a good steward of whom and what has been entrusted in our care.
Yeah, these sound great. And Rob, I'm thinking as I'm listening to you about the what seems to be an explosion in the coaching industry of people who call themselves coaches. And given the complexity of business today, what advice do you have for listeners about how they can determine when they need a coach, if they do need a coach, what's the best kind of coach? How do they sift through all the people who call themselves coaches and find somebody who's really appropriate for their needs at any given point in time?
Yeah, coaching is, you know, there are so many coaches out there, and some are certified, some aren't, some have background in coaching, some want to have a background in coaching, and they want to use you and me as a platform in which to do so. So we do have to be careful. We have to be extremely discerning. And what I have found to make sure that it's a good fit is there, you've got to know yourself. You know, what kind of a person inspires you? What kind of core values do you have in your life? Like, what matters the most to you at the end of the day? Is it commitment? Is it is it more your personal life directing more of your professional life? Whatever, but understanding who you are, I think will help. So as you're out looking for someone to come alongside of you potentially that could end up helping you, now because you know yourself and you know yourself well, Art, who would be someone that I would really want in my corner to be that inspirational partner for at least a season, to come alongside, to inspire, to hold me accountable, to help me devise a plan that I can see through. So I think it really starts with understanding yourself. And the more that you understand who you are, how you're wired, how you're created, how you're knit together, the values deep in your heart and your mind, now as you're out maybe interviewing, coming across different people in the coaching industry, setting up maybe an interview or two to get to know people, now you find out if there's synergy there. So much comes down to values. You know, any good match, you know, it's like in marriage with my wife. When I was dating my wife back in the day, and we've been married 13 years, when I met her, you know, I felt very shortly after we got a chance to get to go and go out on a couple dates, like, wow, there's a good meshing here. Because we shared in some values and asking one another questions and found out that we had a lot more in common that we didn't have in common. And I think coaching is very similar. So know who you are, know the values in your heart, and make sure that there are shared values so there can be a unity from the very beginning of that relationship potentially. But also too, I think it's important practically for someone to have some level of experience. There's no doubt about it. If you want someone to help come alongside of you and encourage you and to help you with a plan, and I like people that have experienced where I want to be. A little bit, doesn't mean wholeheartedly, but at least some level of experience that they've tasted of where I want to be. And now they can offer some guidance, some encouragement in a way that maybe other people that have not tasted of where I want to be wouldn't be able to offer that guidance or that encouragement. So does that make sense, David?
Yeah, it does. And along those lines, when do you think a peer group might be a good support mechanism to help you with your own success?
Yeah. Support and peer groups are a wonderful part of the process and a journey. There's no doubt about it. But they are distinctive in my heart and mind and based on my experience. You know, the one-to-one connection, there's nothing like it. This is, you know, when you have a relationship that you are intentional about, there's a collaboration, there's a unity. You have my back, I have yours. We're in the trenches together. We could be present. There's nothing like the one-to-one. As a matter of fact, I'm all about the one because of everything I just mentioned and so much more. However, there is a place for peer groups, support groups, call whatever you want, a group of people that share in some of your successes, your challenges, and everything. But we do need to understand that they are different. The makeup of a peer group, a support group, is going to be a little different, that you're not going to be able to, even as a coach won't be able to have everyone's, specifically each person within a group, if you're meeting with them as a group, you're not going to have everyone's undivided attention and be present with each one in that group in the same way that you would if you were meeting with one person at a time. So how you facilitate that group, the dialogue, see, that's where a coach or a facilitator and facilitative skills really come in handy, because I think you can go, there's a level of depth, a level of great, meaningful, inspirational conversation can come about in a group situation or group dynamic, but you can only go so deep in such a period of time. And so just knowing that the one-to-one, you can go deep much faster. Where group, it's going to take a little longer. And the conversation, you know, I guess I go back, I always go back to personal examples, David. It's like a parent with their children. It's like a business leader with all their employees. And so a parent with their children, you may have certain boundaries, certain principles that you want to raise up all your kids with, but maybe when you get together with each child, how you instill those values might look a little different. And you can spend that one-to-one time going out and date days with your little girl, or, you know, hanging out with your son going camping or something like that. And that one-to-one connection can take those principles and really apply them in a very deeper, more present way. Whereas then when you're with your whole family, and we can make this again applicable to business, you as the business owner or leader, and you have your quote unquote kids or family dynamics with those that you're leading and influencing, you know, you just need to know both worlds are different. They certainly overlap. So make sure to set your expectations up properly, because it'll mean and make the world of difference.
Rob, great advice. Whom do you know personally who has done a remarkable job at smashing plateaus?
Yeah, I have one friend that jumps out. His name's Fred. He is a great business colleague. He is a business leader. He's been in corporate world as a very gifted leader. He has served with me on numerous nonprofit humanitarian philanthropy projects and organizations. And this guy, I got to share this with you. This guy, he has had so many obstacles and challenges in his personal and professional career. He just has such a level of focus and such a healthy and higher perspective on life and what he does that it's like problems and challenges don't become his world. They actually become smaller because he has his eyes fixed on a prize and he won't take his eyes off of the prize. And so anything that's just kind of around him or grabbed a hold of him that's maybe just a problem, a challenge, he quickly turns it in to opportunity and devises a plan and sees things through in a very efficient and effective manner. And he's arguably been one of the most influential people in my life. So for him, I'm grateful.
Yeah, well, focus and perspective are such key ingredients to success. So thanks for sharing that example.
Absolutely.
Rob, what can we look forward to from you in the near future? What's coming up?
So many exciting things. Now, if you haven't seen me get passionate so far, I'll probably turn it up a notch, David. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
I told you, one cup of coffee, but there's these questions that come my way, and I'm like, ah, no. For me, I recently wrote a book that's been 2 years in the making. It's called Lead the Way, and it dives into my inside-out leadership principles for business owners and leaders, which I've described earlier in our interview here. And I'm so excited about it because, like I said, people have been tugging on me. You know, I've been speaking on these principles for nearly 20 years, and I don't know. I do things maybe different sometimes than what I'm told to do. I don't know. I don't know if it's my rebellious nature, David, or what, but maybe it's the pioneer in me. But I know a lot of people that write a book or they have content, they finally get out and then they start speaking about it and come on with online courses, etc. I've been speaking, creating, developing, speaking about my core content and inside out leadership for nearly 20 years. And people slowly but surely over the years have been saying, and more aggressively in the last 2 years, would you just get it down and write a book on all these principles? Because, Rob, I've heard bits and pieces about it, but I want it in a concise fashion where I can go and buy it and encourage other people to go and get it and stuff like that. So enough was enough. And I finally put the pen to paper. But I guess in today's modern day, it would more or less be my hands to the keyboard. And I started to get into a zone and wrote the book and finished it off. And it's at the publisher now, and it's going to be out sometime in the fall. And it's literally going to be about the essence of a lot of our conversation today on foundations of an inside-out leader, core convictions of an inside-out leader, and then we turn the corner, because I make it all about the leader. We find out who you truly are and why you are on earth. Now through that lens, we can take a look at your business. And then your business takes on more purpose and meaning than ever before. So I'm excited about the book being released. And then I'll be on a speaking tour for the next 12 months with just different interviews and keynote speeches to be able to share my heart surrounding the book and everything that I so believe in, because it impacts, influences business owners and leaders all over the world. And I don't want people to wait another day to get a hold of it. So
sounds great. And Rob, how can listeners get a hold of you, learn more about you, follow you, and get access to the book when it's out?
Yeah, a couple resources. My personal website's always a great one. So that is R-O-B-B, that's Rob, spelled with two B's, and Holman, H-O-L-M-A-N. So Rob with two B's, Holman.com. And then the book website is leadthewaybook.com. And the best way to reach me on social media is at Rob Holman through my Twitter.
Great. Rob, thanks so much for taking some time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great discussion about leadership. My guest today has been Rob Holman, founder and CEO of Holman International. Thank you again, Rob, for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy and an honor, and I look forward to continuing the relationship with you, David. Thanks so much.
Same here, Rob. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.